Well, you know, the thing is, Matt, I learned photography the old way, right, with the film and the paper and the black and white. And I love it like, you know.
It's an art.
Yeah. I mean, it's a passion of people, yeah, if you understand that. And I figured, well, you know, I retired and, uh-huh, and I'm still real actively interested in photography. So I thought, well, what could I do? Take the pictures of the city, like you explained, yep, everything that goes on. Mm-hmm. I contribute photography to the Historic Preservation Commission. Mm-hmm. And I got some books down there full of photos. I grew up in South Bend. My parents were first generation Americans that were born and raised in South Bend. I grew up with people that loved South Bend.
Yes. You heard that there. That is Lou Sabo, who has spent decades photographing and documenting the city of South Bend in Mishawaka. More of that later, but first, thank you for listening to another episode of Round the Bend Now and Then. My name is Matt Emery, and I'm a local history nerd. My main mission in this podcast, as well as other Round the Bend material, is to create engaging content that shares how intertwined the South Bend and Mishawaka area's past is to our present. I interview local leaders, business owners, and community members to help tell their stories, because their stories help tell the story of South Bend and Mishawaka. Before we get to the interview, I just have a few simple favors. One is to be sure that you hit the download, like, or subscribe button on whatever podcast app that you listen to us on. Another favor is to follow us on social media, at Round the Bend Pod or at Round the Bend 574 on Twitter, Round the Bend Now and Then on Facebook, and now on YouTube, where I'm starting to dabble in some visual content as well. I have a few new videos that include some cool historical pictures, maps, newspaper articles, and narration by yours truly. All of those links are in the show notes as well. My last favor is to please just pass on the good word about the content. Now, let's dive into another interview that helps tell the story of South Bend and Mishawaka. As you all know by now, I am a local history nerd. I'm always trying to find pictures and books and articles from the South Bend and Mishawaka area's past. And then I'll get out there and take pictures of the area today. Then I'll try to piece together, document, and learn about how the landscape has changed over the years. I'll share some of this on Facebook and Twitter, and people seem to love seeing this type of history. So I'm always digging for old pictures and scenes from our area's past. And over the years in digging for these old pictures and visiting the library's website and being on the Facebook history pages, the name of a local photographer comes up from time to time, as this gentleman has photographed and documented our city for almost 50 years. The same gentleman has also created and narrated a couple of different YouTube documentaries, utilizing a lot of his photography of historic South Bend throughout. And as you know, this type of stuff is right up my alley. The first documentary, South Bend Studebaker Legacy, has 191,000 views, so people must be appreciative of his photography and of his work. His most recent YouTube documentary, South Bend Lost and Saved, is truly a visual display of South Bend and how it's changed over the years. The good and not so good changes. You'll learn a ton about our history and historic preservation, all told through this gentleman's narration and his photograph collection. In this episode, I meet with Lou Sabo. Lou is a longtime photographer, including 25 years at the South Bend Tribune. Photography was his profession all of those years, but if you spend any time with him or check out his website, lousabo.com, you'll learn really quick that above all, photography is his passion and his life's work. After watching his YouTube documentary and seeing some of his historic pictures of South Bend, I knew that he was extremely knowledgeable about our area's history, so I wanted to get him on the show and pick his brain about his experiences both professionally and also as a passionate South Bend historian and enthusiast. We talked about everything from he and his fellow Tribune colleagues almost tipping off drug dealers to a SWAT raid in the 1970s, to what old buildings in South Bend he thinks will be lost to history soon. I put a link to Lou's website and his YouTube documentaries in the show notes, so definitely be sure to check those out. Here is my conversation with Lou Sabo. Well, thank you for joining us. Truly appreciate you. You're a longtime South Bend resident, longtime South Bend Tribune photographer. And before we get going, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you went to high school, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Well, I was born here in South Bend.
All right.
And went to Clay High School.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, right now, a lot of people are fighting to keep open.
Mm-hmm.
Went to IUSB.
Okay.
And pretty much stuck around South Bend most of my life. Like you said, I did work for the Tribune on and off for about 25 years.
Okay.
I moved for a while to New York and got some extra education there.
Uh-huh.
And got a good job, saved up some money, and came back to South Bend.
Okay.
And that was kind of my plan all along. And
okay.
Bought a house, fixed it up, and lived happily ever after.
So you were with the Tribune for a good 25 years, you said, huh?
Right. I know you interviewed Bill Moore.
Correct.
And Bill started about 6 months before I did.
Okay.
And we had a great time there, Bill, you know, being a sports guy. And
uh-huh.
Photographers, most of them enjoyed shooting sports, naturally.
Yes, yes.
And nothing better than going out to Notre Dame. That was the highlight of the...
Oh, I'm sure.
...of the fall, you know, for his photographers.
Uh-huh.
When all the excitement of Notre Dame football and all that was... And then, you know, like I say, I worked there over several different periods.
Uh-huh.
I quit for 10 years when I was in New York and came
okay.
back, worked some more.
Uh-huh.
And then I freelanced there for about 7 or 8 years.
I see.
So strung it out over a period of about 30, 35 years. So I got to see the Tribune go from the golden age of newspapers, the early 70s with the Watergate era, all the way up to the sad end.
And the digital era.
Turn of the 20th century.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Goodness. Were there ever, when you were, not the freelance, but when you're working for the Tribune, now do they send you out to stories and they say, just take pictures? Is that how that works?
Pretty much.
Were there ever any shady, scary situations at all? Or?
Well, yeah. A couple times I went out with SWAT teams or met SWAT teams. Funny thing happened in the late 70s. Uh-huh. I went out with a reporter. And myself and I drove, and we were supposed to meet at a house on the west side of South Bend where they're going to have a big bust.
Oh, my God.
It's like
goodness.
7 o'clock in the morning. So we drove down the street, but we got there about 5 minutes before the police did. So, well, what are we going to do? Park out in front of here, you know, and knock on the door and say,
yeah.
So we end up driving around the block, and then finally the police showed up, and all of a sudden all the action happened. And I was also in a situation where someone was in their house with a rifle.
Oh.
And they, of course, didn't want anyone coming in to arrest them. So the guy's shooting out the doorway, but he wasn't really trying to hit anybody. I'm not trying to make this sound more exciting than it was, but he was fired a couple shots in the ground, and the TV reporter was hiding behind a tree, and we were hunkered down behind a station wagon, and somebody says, the station wagon's not going to stop.
Right, right, a rifle.
But we're kind of laughing and joking, like, it's weird because you just think it's like you're in a movie or something.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So that was exciting, and then, of course, you know, famous people coming to town.
That's true, too.
Yeah. I got to shoot Vincent Price and Red Skelton and Steve Allen and Jerry Lewis and John Denver and... probably name about 50 more if I could think about it.
Yeah, that's neat. That's really neat. And so your profession, your career is photography. You could take you know, pictures of very different things over the years, whether it be an event for your freelance or the Tribune, but you're also passionate about our city and about the history of our city. And you're able to take that and combine, you know, your passion of history and everything with photography. And you've taken tens of thousands of pictures of our landscape over the years. And me, I'm the exact same way. When I see a building being built, I'm out there instantly taking pictures. When I see a building being torn down, I'm out there taking pictures, because 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, I just love how our cities evolve, you know? Are you about the same way or?
Right. in fact, it sounds like you're going after my job here. Well, you know, the thing is, Matt, I learned photography the old way,
right,
with the film and the paper and the black and white. And I love it like, you know.
It's an art.
Yeah, I mean, it's a passion of people, if you understand that. And I figured, well, you know, I retired and I'm still real actively interested in photography. So I thought, well, what could I do? Take the pictures of the city, like you explained, yep. everything that goes on. Mm-hmm. I contribute photography to the Historic Preservation Commission. Mm-hmm. And I got some books down there full of photos. And yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up in South Bend. My parents were first generation Americans that were born and raised in South Bend. I grew up with people that loved South Bend.
Yes.
Which is a whole important thing as far as generations go. If you start early and you're told about your city and you start to like it, that's something you take with you all your life.
You're darn right.
When I lived in New York, I figured out that the secret of New York, what makes New York great, is that people love their city.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's just such an important thing.
Yeah.
If you don't love where you're living, then you probably should go somewhere else.
You're darn right.
But I think we got a great city here with
yeah.
all kinds of advantages and opportunities.
Absolutely. And you captured it over all these years, too. Well,
I try. I try. Yeah, it's terrible to see a building torn down. And there's always, of course, you can't save every building.
No.
Right. So many bad mistakes, you know, that were made. And the city now is much, much sharper on that.
Yep. And we'll get into that, too, because in your video, in the YouTube documentary, you talked about it.
Right,
for sure. Before we dive into that real fast, I mean, like I said, I love collecting all pictures. I have files and files of old postcard pictures, old pictures here, there. I've scoured the internet. I go to the library and I take pictures of pictures, and I have old books. I do the same thing. Where else can I get more old pictures from?
Well,
just of our landscape. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be anything. It can be a street corner from 1960. I love it.
Well, you know that those Facebook pages you talked about, the history of South Bend and Mishawaka.
That's where I get most.
You know, of course, the History Museum,
mm-hmm.
The Studebaker Museum.
Right.
Again, the public library.
Yep.
You might want to check into like Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's true.
Much of their library is accessible to the public. You can't take things out, but you can use their facilities. And then, you know, you might just want to make a note, you know, on some of these Facebook pages that you're looking for photographs.
Yes, yeah.
Somebody once said the statement that people have in their attics and their basements and albums the greatest resource material of archival photographs in existence. But they never get together.
Exactly.
So
even when you look at old Ma and Pa, Grandma and Grandpa, you know, a picture of them on the corner, I'm really not as much interested in Ma and Pa, but the background and what the city looked like throughout the years, I just love that stuff.
This is what the Studebaker Museum, some of their pictures got a tremendous amount of value now because a lot of their cars were photographed in South Bend.
Yes.
And I've seen fabulous pictures from the 1920s of beautiful Studebaker presidents down in Lieber Park with the North Shore building,
in
the background
houses,
shot pictures on Park Avenue,
man.
West Washington. Yeah.
I just saw a Studebaker ad today from a brand new John Adams High School. A Studebaker was out front.
Oh, okay.
They had a cool high school kid driving it and a girl getting in it. And it was right in front of the brand new ad.
Oh, okay.
Down here. Yeah.
Yeah.
South Bend Lost and Saved, your YouTube documentary. It is so cool. It is what I'm talking about now is just you have a great mix of our old history in there, you tie it with our present, you talk about our future, and anybody who spends it's an hour and 13 minutes, that's it. Anybody who spends an hour and 13 minutes watching it will learn a ton from our city. Just looking at the pictures, what's the main thing that you wanted folks to learn when you started doing that YouTube video?
Well, I started a little bit of history. It was aimed at either new residents to town or younger people, you know, school age, or to people that grew up here and never really had a particular interest in South Bend and just for some reason watched this and kind of try to create an interest.
Right.
I just think that education is always the answer to bringing people into, you know, your system, your story, whatever, your beliefs.
Right.
And I just remember so many bad things people just toss off about South Bend.
Yep.
Like, this is third rate town, there's no fun here, it's not interesting, and you know, but they don't really know.
Nope.
And I always said, yeah, there's better cities.
Yep.
And there's a lot worse.
Right.
Most of the better cities you can't afford to live in, or you can't get a job.
Right.
Geographically, contrary to what people say, I don't mind the winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, the winters aren't bad. The weather, I think, here is fine. We have four seasons.
Right.
We're close to Chicago. We're close to the Great Lakes. And I just kind of want to make people aware of that without being preachy.
Of course.
Or come down on anybody, you know.
And it's hard, and it's hard to encapsulate that all like in an hour.
Well, that's true.
But you did a good job of
outlining mixing. That. Yeah, was basically the whole job was starting with the history, and then you know the background, and then the bad years.
Yeah.
And then the new awareness, as I said, and that, and then now the people that are now working to try and save the city. And I also have to mention out loud Vince Sippets, who helped on a documentary and did the editing, did a great job. So I just want to put that plug in there too.
You talked about the bad years, and we'll also get to more good stuff later. But in the video, you talked about how architecture and historic buildings just were not always valued. And right. even in the 1960s and 70s, the federal government gave tax credits to tearing down old buildings and for the sake of redevelopment. And that right. was urban renewal.
Right.
And some of the pictures that you captured, you can't explain it until you see the picture of how empty our downtown looked after all those buildings torn.
Right.
Talk to me about that time.
Well, the joke is that the urban renewal came around, but they forgot the renewal part. And
that's true.
Yeah, we have parking lots in this town that are like, you almost can't see the other side.
Yes, yes.
If you go down by the post office and look around in that area.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that there's some interest in doing something about that.
Uh-huh.
We have four-lane streets that go into parking lots and just disappear.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not blaming anybody. What happened is that there were projects that were planned that never came through. Mm-hmm. There were streets that were supposedly going to be extended that we haven't gotten around to because there's nothing really to extend them to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, that's being addressed now. But one of the worst examples is what was called Chapin Street and then became Martin Luther King, and now it's Charles Martin. They actually extended it at Washington Street North, and they just plowed right through a couple of Victorian houses. And there wasn't any attempt whatsoever to try and sell these houses or move them.
They just plowed right through them.
For that little inner belt.
Yes.
Whatever that was supposed to be. And they were going to go down Navarre Street by Memorial Hospital and take out the whole south side.
Unbelievable.
And Navarre Street, which is just a row of beautiful premium Victorian houses. So, you know, you can't blame people for what they did in those days. They thought they were doing good.
Right, right.
And of course, like you say, the federal government didn't offer any incentives. In the documentary I mentioned, it wasn't until the 1930s that anybody even considered historic mm-hmm. preservation. And then it was like George Washington's house or something like that.
Yeah, something that has like profound American impact,
right.
You know, not just as much local.
And to this day, occasionally a building gets by that is torn down that, as I mentioned in the video, unless it's in a historic neighborhood or as tagged as a historic structure, the owner can do what they want with it.
Absolutely. Oh, goodness. You mentioned the shape. That was a part of the inner beltway they were planning mm-hmm. to build in the late 50s or something
right.
like that. And I would love to, I want to do an episode on that too. It'll have to be a YouTube one because I have a cool old pictures of some of the proposals.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned on that Navarre
right.
area there, knocking that down.
Right.
It would have connected with Madison Street on the other side of the river. They planned right.
Put a bridge, yeah.
Yeah, just like the Cooper Street Bridge
right.
got built.
Right.
And that massively tore into,
destroyed. Yeah. There's little bits and pieces of streets around there that are only like three houses long.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that always fascinated me. There's many areas in South Bend where something came through and there's a little tiny bit mm-hmm. of a street.
That's what I love. I'm a detective. I get out there, take pictures. I'm looking at old pictures.
Right,
and
right.
I just love that kind of stuff.
The best way to do it, though, is either walking or on a bike.
You have to. You can just get the essence of the city.
Exactly.
Smell it, feel it. Yep.
I take my bike down Jefferson Boulevard, which I call South Bend Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Right. And I people go, oh, I've been down a million times. I drive down that every day. And then I'll say, you haven't seen nothing.
Not on foot
That's
or a
right.
bike.
That's
and
right.
you get a little winded. They don't understand that Jefferson's got a little incline.
That's right. Yeah. Fun going down, though.
Yeah, right. I interviewed Ken Pachkovsky from the Griffin Bookstore,
mm-hmm.
and him and his wife, Sarah, she'd passed a few years ago, they opened the Griffin on South Michigan Street in 1978, so right across from the current Chocolate Cafe.
Okay.
So that whole block that got tore down where like Pegs is at right now, mm-hmm. They originally were in a store there, then Urban Renewal, the city said, you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So his brother-in-law was a lawyer in Washington, D.C. and knew about the Urban Renewal, what cities were doing. His brother-in-law gave him a binder, a book on it. And Ken spent weeks reading through it and he familiarized himself with all the ins and outs of it. He wasn't going to get screwed by the city. So he knew that he wanted to stick around, so they had to relocate him. They relocated him across the way to Osco's,
okay.
which is still there as right. the chocolate factory.
Yeah, yeah.
And because at the time that was on the docket to be destroyed too,
mm-hmm.
as a part of that Century Mall project.
Right.
So then from there, so he had to move from one side of Michigan to the other. Then he was there for a few years as the Griffin Bookstore. Then they kicked him out of there. So he fought the city and they paid for somewhat of where he's at now on Colfax.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to LaSalle Grill.
Right.
And you had that picture in there in your documentary of Sonneborn's?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like a survivor of Urban Renewal downtown.
That the LaSalle Grill building and the one next door, the Griffin Bookstore, are two of the oldest commercial buildings in town, if not the oldest.
I think the LaSalle might be the oldest.
Yeah. That was a hotel.
Oh, okay.
And you can almost tell by looking at
you
it.
Just
the square windows on a rectangular building in front. A lot of South Bend hotels of the period looked like that. They weren't really fancy. I'm talking 1850s and 60s.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They were more like roadhouses
yep,
or
just
roadside inns.
Practical place to stay.
Right.
Yep.
The fancier hotels came in the 1890s or 1880s or 90s. But that whole Century project, I think I mentioned in a documentary that Century Center is all we really got out of that.
That's it.
And that whole area was torn down. And I tell people there was gas stations and houses and drugstores and bars and restaurants and, you know, everything down those streets that are now enormous areas of just empty parking lots. And they never were filled up.
No.
And you know, again, the Lincoln Way came through town there. That's where that row of really quite nice commercial buildings along the river.
Mm-hmm.
We did get those.
Mm-hmm.
I think Crow, Harwath, and those
buildings right
were built
there.
At that time. But it was a plan that just probably even at the start, they should have known it wasn't going to work.
I know. And then
but they went ahead with it.
But you had said, though, you can't really blame them at the time.
No.
I mean, the federal government saying, look, you have these buildings that are, some of them are, they're falling apart, you know.
Sort
Tear
of.
Them down. Here's millions.
Now, if you look at the pictures of old South Bend, we had some most gorgeous, unbelievable, beautiful commercial buildings around.
Okay.
We were the biggest city for 50 miles around or more. Actually, only Fort Wayne would have been the next biggest city to South Bend, unless you went, of course, then Chicago would
be
further.
Yeah.
But now the small towns around, like Niles, Goshen, they never got the urban renewal money that we did. So they never tore their downtowns down.
You're right, because they still have their town
squares. Now, Niles and Goshen and towns that size around Plymouth, you know, all that, they have their really neat downtowns. Mm-hmm. They
Warsaw, same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Walkerton.
Yeah.
They used to come to South Bend because we had the beautiful buildings, but then we lost them all. There's very few of those buildings left. Even small buildings were really trimmed out nice in South Bend.
Yeah.
big city. We had the money.
And you, and in your doc, in your video, you zoom in on some of the, on you guys zoom, you and Vince zoom in on some of the architectural features on those old buildings.
Right, right.
They don't make them like that.
No, and we lost them all. We lost all of them. We lost a lot of them in that, you know, like the Philadelphia, beautiful buildings, white terracotta buildings.
Oh,
the Oddfellows building was all part of that.
Yep. Speaking of the Oddfellows, you spent some time in the video, and then I interviewed Mayor Parent, and he was on the city council when Nemeth wanted to tear, he was on a rampage to tear that puppy down. Ugh. And the Oddfellows, it seemed like that was pretty dramatic at the time, though.
You know, it's the Historic Preservation Commission is the watchdog.
Okay.
We didn't have a Historic Preservation Commission, and it didn't start to like 74, 75. So even to this day, you know, I guess power is, you can't fight certain things. Certain things are just inevitable. But at least we have a chance now.
Yes.
Back then, we didn't have much of a chance at all. Kresge's. HPC just formed then, and they fought that one and just missed on that one.
Oh.
But they did save Madison School.
Yes.
Which was a first great victory for Historic Preservation Commission.
Yep. That's awesome. Yep. And then since then, Madison has been completely renovated in 2000, early 2000s, you know. And this caught me as a little change of subject, but it's the same thing about how our perspectives change over the years on what we value historically. The Victorian mansions, the beautiful Victorian mansions that we'll see, they call those Victorian monstrosities.
Right.
Oh my God.
That was a term I picked up from something I read a long time ago, but it really sums up what the feeling was. It's like the Addams Family or Munsters.
Yeah.
That's what they thought of old houses were like.
Unreal.
Funny old haunted houses. Yeah. I know, and they would trash things that now are just precious antiques.
Beautiful. it's just amazing. It's
absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
They would chop them up and make apartments out of them.
My grandmother, when she died in 1960, all the family went there to clean everything up. They took the player piano and the roll top dust in the backyard and chopped them up with axes.
Yeah, just different values.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of losing some of our buildings, and we've talked about a few. Which of our buildings in South Bend that were lost to time, which of those do you really, if you had to name one or two that you really wish we could have saved?
Oliver Hotel.
That's the first that comes to your mind?
That's the greatest and the best of all. It was the most magnificent hotel. It was known all over the country. And if you watch the documentary, I just barely touched on what that place had. It literally had everything. Mm. It was gorgeous, nationally known architecturally, a perfect building. That was a situation where the hotel that owned it decided they wanted a new building. And they actually, for very rare in South Bend, they built a much bigger and more expensive building.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have built it a block away, and we could have had both buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the crying shame. And actually, I was in high school when that was torn down.
Okay.
And some of the kids in school went out and protested tearing it down. These are like your kind of hippie / radical intellectual,
activist
trouble activist,
rabble rouser,
at Clay High School in the late 60s.
Wow.
So that's how those things, and that was of course then how historic preservation started.
Okay.
It actually started with that, and like we mentioned, Madison School and the Oddfellows.
Okay.
The Kresge's.
That's hilarious you said it, because my very next question was the Oliver Hotel. Mm-hmm. And literally I was asking, was that one of the first
One in the Kresge's? And Kresge's, was a Studio Baker administration building. And I didn't realize that until I did the documentary. It was Studio Baker's was a big company, contrary to what people think. You know, at one time it employed 23,000 people in South Bend, which is huge. But they were nationally a big company too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had administration buildings in Chicago and Detroit and in Canada all throughout.
Yep.
And dealerships, of course, all over the country. But that was their last administration building left. And that was built around, in the 1870s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And H.G. Chrisman, the company that was hired to do a survey of the building in the early 70s.
Okay.
I think I mentioned documentary, said for a matter of several thousand dollars, it could be brought up to code. I did $20,000 or $25,000. Which now would be about $100,000,
$150,000. But still, that's...
Right.
That's small change with these big developers. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
You could easily put $2 or $3 million in a building like that, because it would probably be finished. It would be a $15 million building.
Yes.
I think it was four stories.
Oh, man.
So that was a real shame. And to this day, it's basically an empty lot.
It is. They put some shrubs out there as right. a little park, and it is right. used, but it wouldn't have the grand, beautiful no. beautifulness of the...
And when they're gone, they're gone.
Way gone.
Yeah.
Way gone.
Yeah.
We already mentioned some of the buildings that might be close to being endangered. Right now in our city, what's a building or two that you feel is might just be very close?
The Singer factories.
Okay, on Western?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The people, a lot of younger people and people new to town have no idea,
no.
except they heard of Singer, of course, but
right.
they never knew that Singer had concentrated a great part of its cabinet manufacturing
uh-huh.
here in South Bend.
Uh-huh.
That one, it's called a Marycrest building now. It's yep. an enormous building. There was like 8 of those.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, uh-huh. it was almost as big as Studebaker's.
Uh-huh.
It was a huge area. Those are in pretty bad shape.
They're bad.
They're just barely hanging in there. I think they're just kind of waiting really to get, you know, some decision made on
yeah.
that. That's bad. And then a little building that I've always loved is the WPA building at Walker Field.
Yes.
And that...
On Ewing?
Yep.
Yes.
That's real dear to my heart because my dad was a park director there
okay.
when I was a kid because he was
okay.
a teacher at Oliver School, and to pick up a little extra money, you know how teachers are.
Of course.
So I kind of grew up hanging out there in the summers.
Okay.
The summer. The city of South Bend used to have 53 or 55 programs in the summer
yep.
at the parks for kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were great. You could learn everything from basket weaving to model airplanes
uh-huh.
to basketball and swimming.
Yep.
Anyway, that little building there is closed up now and is stabilized, and they're going to try and save it because that's mm-hmm. a WPA building.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And really important, I think.
Even if they could do something like they did with Pottawatomie Park here, where
right.
that building used to be enclosed and everything, but now it's a pavilion, but
right.
the history's still there.
Right.
The cornerstone is still there, like you mentioned in the video, you know? Just
right. Well, Pottawatomie Park's interesting because there is a couple things there. There used to be a garden.
Yep.
That led into across the street.
Uh-huh.
They're going to try and fix that up, I hear.
Are they?
Uh-huh. What the swimming pool is going to have to go, though.
Yeah, it's done.
I know. And that's kind of a shame because you're again losing something.
I know. The swimming pool's a shame. My Twitter account, RoundTheBend574, I have like almost 4,000 followers. And that's exactly what I do when I'm out walking or running. I take pictures of our area now. I find old pictures.
Right.
And I tweet it, okay? And I mean, thousands of people see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of me, what I feel is my role in educating.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tweeted two of the things you just mentioned. I have old pictures of the Singer factory. I
okay.
tweeted that out. And remarkably, Hispanic folk who follow me retweeted that a lot because they live in that area
right.
now. So
right.
again, I want to continue to educate regardless who's living there. But those gardens over there, I got on an old aerial from
right.
1950
okay.
to earliest I can go is early 50s
okay.
line. And then you could still see it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they built a pool.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be even bigger. I have an old postcard. Have you seen that? It's just, the old postcard picture I have is gorgeous
right.
in that area.
Well,
it's
they
want to
really put some money into that, just like they did at Leaper Park.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rose Garden there or whatever.
Well, the fountain too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You know, the nice thing about the city now, when they do something, they do it right.
Uh-huh.
And they do put the money into it.
Yeah.
And we can be really happy for that fact. They didn't do a cheap job or a sloppy job. Of course, the Studebaker Fountain and Leaper Park. And,
uh-huh.
I mean, and
Studebaker Fountain's right there.
Yeah, that's a top-notch job.
Yep, that's a painting of the Studebaker Fountain
oh, okay.
there. Isn't that neat?
Right.
It's... Things like that is
I did really good. Looks like a photo.
Yeah, things like that is just what I love, man. I love it. You mentioned, we talked about Victorian mansions, and in the video you mentioned West Washington and how there's beautiful homes up and down there. I did an episode on the 1200 block of West Washington, which ended up being called The Block.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so intrigued by that area because that was literally like a downtown area in our city for years,
mm-hmm.
and it got bad, decrepit in the 60s, 70s,
right.
and 80s, and now they've repurposed
housing
it.
In.
Do you have any remembrances or anything of when it was The Block?
Well, Washington and Walnut.
Yes, that intersection.
Yeah.
That's it.
When we were in high school, we always would come up with this joke, like, I'll meet you at Washington Wana at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So and that was the
scariest the place in town.
Yes. Right?
I mean, yeah, that was real bad neighborhood and a lot of crime, a lot of shootings and all that. And, but not anymore.
No.
It just goes to show, you
dedicated
know.
Dedicated people.
That's right. That's right.
All right. You've, you see, this whole talk here, your documentary, you've seen our city in the 60s, the 70s as a downturn, and then in the 80s and 90s, and you've seen it kind of back upswing. What do you think the future is looking like for us here?
Well, I think the future's pretty bright. We got the Eddy Street there. A lot of people are confused as if that's in Notre Dame or Eddy Street, but I've investigated that thoroughly.
Okay.
And I can tell you that most of that's in South Bend.
Yep.
Anything from, I think it's basically Angela South.
Uh-huh.
Although the signs say Eddy Street at Notre Dame, that's just kind of for tourists.
Marketing. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So that's a huge, we gained in population because of that.
Yep.
And, it was just announced yesterday or day before that Notre Dame wants to buy the Tribune Building, which is super good news.
Beautiful.
Because they are not going to be a detriment to that building. I mean, that's the best thing that could happen. That's like dying and going to heaven for a building. And they want to invest more into the city. So that's going to really help.
Yes.
Get that whole corridor. You know, we got housing going up and apartments going up. We relaxed some of the restrictions on
parking
building
restrictions and all
and parking
that
restrictions
and, yes.
are made more less parking lots we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
They used to require so many spaces for a building.
Yeah.
And so the current for like the last 15, 20 years, 30 years is much, much more easy to work with on that sort of thing.
Yep. I have, anytime I talk to anybody who's new to the area, just in the past 5-10 years, and matter of fact, on my Twitter account, when I share old pictures, people comment, they can't believe that like the Five Point area used to look like that.
Right, right.
Or, you know, and I have pictures of when it was the Five Point.
Right.
And they can't believe. I'm like, yeah, this is.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
This is completely different. This is our town did not look like this 25 years ago.
No, it's like something that you would see when they did Lakeshore Drive in Chicago in the 70s. They completely strained and put in Millennium Park and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal and it's not like a small town stuff. So
no,
I don't like when people say this is a small town because it really
exactly.
isn't.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, thank you.
Well, thanks, Matt. You. Thanks for having me.
For sure, for sure. Thank you for listening to another episode of Round the Bend Now and Then. An extra special thanks to Lou Sabo for coming on and sharing your passion for South Bend. Again, folks, check out Lou's website and his documentaries. The links are in the show notes. Join us again next time and hear more about South Bend and Mishawaka's Now and Then.